How's our good brother, Reverend Dr. Brandon Davis, doing today?
I'm doing well. How y'all doing?
Man, blacknificent.
I love to hear it. I love to hear it.
How you doing? You just chilling. You a pastor. You are an overseer of a police department. You are a father.
A husband.
I'm trying to get like y'all. You know, hold on. I'm trying to get like y'all. That's the real goal.
You doing it, Brandon? And thank you. And you got your doctoral degree.
I did. I grabbed a PhD in organizational leadership, which is super dope. So navigating all the spaces, grateful for the ability to do it, you know, and excited about connecting with y'all. It's been a minute. I'm excited to connect with y'all.
Yes, the dreads, man. When did you get the dreads?
You know, it's been like 2 years that I've had them now. This is my first, my second go around with dreads, though. I had dreads through part of college and when I started law school, and cut them because somebody told me I needed to be successful. Oh. So, you know, listen back then and you know, different stage of life now, though. So,
things have changed. They were right back then. It would have been tough.
You know, it probably would have been, but you know, it was funny. I cut my dreads, started at the prosecutor's office in Detroit as an intern. And that first day I saw an attorney with dreads down his back and I was hurt. I said, never should have cut them. But anyway.
But he probably had his own business though, right?
No, he was a prosecutor. Oh, so, wow. You know.
He got inside.
I ain't cutting mine off.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I could go back, I probably wouldn't have, but it was probably the right move then.
At the time, you know, when you see people dreads, you instantly think of Rasta man. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Bum with Christ.
Be further from it, but you know, right. I appreciate
you're not a Rastafarian pastor.
Not a Rastafarian pastor, but you know, proud to rock my locks.
Proud to rock my locks.
Hell yeah! Oh, Brandon, do got some locks on. Look at him, Brandon. You go, bro.
Yeah, he looks.
They probably long. He got him in twists right now. Paul don't let me get a chance to. He don't let me see the screen, so I had to pull it up on my phone. So
yeah. You got your MacBook. Put it up on your MacBook. should we call you Reverend, Pastor, or Doctor? What term is the best term now?
You could call me Brandon, and that's fine.
You know what? I like Brandon because no matter what accolades he get, I'm still just Brandon. I don't care about that mess.
You know, like. Only time you hear me pushing a title is when I know somebody being disrespectful. Outside of that, I'm ready. Wherever I'm at, I'm ready.
Oh, wow. So talk about your church, because you're a pastor now. You stepped into this league. That's a stretch, right? That's a stretch of faith. I won't wish that on anybody. But congratulations.
Thank you. You know what? I'll take that. I'll take the congrats, but you're right in saying it's a stretch. It's a lot of work. I'm proud to do it, though. Proud of this work. So, you know, for years, I've been serving in the ministry, other places, served as an executive pastor at Church of Living God, served the ministry all of my life, really. Mm-hmm. And the Lord really started impressing upon my heart that we needed to launch a ministry. I know a lot of it is like, why we need another church in Muskegon? It's tons of churches. And the truth is, there are tons of churches. But when the Lord tells you to do something, you do it. And it wasn't my job to figure out, why he wanted it, but he did give some direction. And part of it was to be a place where people can experience reconciliation to Christ. Like, we know that people have experienced lots of stuff in church, but not just in church, in life. And a lot of times when we talk about ministry, we talk about, you know, healing and deliverance and all of that's important. We talk about preaching and that's important. But what about the tangible needs of people, right? Like, you know, Jesus told us to feed his sheep. And that's not just feeding with the word. It's also feeding with food, right? Like people, you can't expect people to step into life transformation when they're trying to figure out where their next meal is coming from. Or who's helping people understand how to navigate these challenges, these spaces, all of the different parts of life that they have to figure out. And if all we say is we're going to pray for you and we're not doing anything tangible, a lot of those people are never going to come to Jesus. So the Lord told us to start Rec City, which is Reconciliation City Church. And, you know, proud that God chose me to do it. grateful for every person. Shout out to Rec City, every person who's a part of that ministry and supporting. But that's what we're about. We're about helping people reconcile to Christ, right? Creating space where you can understand that you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. You just have to desire to live for Christ. And it's a journey. And we're willing to walk alongside you in that journey.
Wow. Dr. Brenda Davis on the phone. Now, you know, back on, out in the street, this, when you take over a club that's already hot, you can be like, the block is already hot. You already took over a church that was already hot.
Yeah, you know, that
it was already hot.
It was a building that was already in use. We were grateful. It was really perfect timing, right? So we know that Pastor and the both Pastor Savages, Apostle and Pastor Savage, had been serving there for, what, 20 years in that space. And just so happened that at the same time the Lord was calling us to launch, they were transitioning to their next phase of ministry. So we're grateful to step into that space, grateful to, you know, serve wherever it is the Lord has us to serve, right? And it just so happened that it worked at that space at this time.
Wow. It has to be great for him to hand it off, like to say, I'm going to let this brother take over this church here, and we leave in, and he know it's in good hands, because I know they put a lot of work into that building before they you know, you took over it. And that has to be a good feeling, you know, for you to know that. You know, Pastor Savage could have said, no, we're going to hold on to this building. I mean, some, you know, preachers want to die in the pulpit.
That's true. I'm clear about it. I do not. Okay.
Brandon said, be clear about that.
I know I like to travel. I love my wife. You know, everybody that don't like their wife, I love mine. You know what I mean? I like to go spend time. I love, you know, so we're doing this because the Lord taught us to. That's the real of it. I don't want to sound cocky, because, you know, you get that from people anyway that think you think something of yourself. But I'll say this. Some people want a pastor or be in these positions for accolades. Respectfully, I have accolades in the secular world. I don't need a pulpit for that, right? Like, I that's not why I'm in it. I'm not in it for people to be, you know, pastor this, pastor that. I'm in it to help people. I'm in it because the Lord said do it. And I believe lives really can be changed. And we need people, you know, each of us reach people differently. There are some people who will never be attracted to my ministry, but they'll be attracted to somebody else's. And I wish them well, right? I want them to succeed, because it's all kingdom building. At the same time, there are others who what we do is what will bless them and to be a place where they feel like it can be home. And I want us to succeed as well. We should all be working together to push ministry forward and help our communities. And I think that's what this is about. Not only on a regular Sunday basis, but also as we do this community day.
Community day is this weekend. Your first, probably your first community day, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's been a year first.
Wow. Talk about it.
Yeah. So I'm excited about community day. So this Sunday, August 30th at 3 p.m., 32 East Forest, we are having community day. And really what this day is about is exactly what the name said. We are hoping to connect with community and help them meet their needs, right? People need safe, comfortable, fun spaces where they could come together, love Christ, love each other, and then get some needs met. So we're offering free haircuts and free braids. Shout out to Corey Bankhead, to Falia Watson, who said they're going to show up and just do haircuts, do hair for free. We know this is stuff that costs real money, but people in community need it, and they're giving from their businesses to help other people. We also got a clove giveaway. Yo, I'm look at me real quick. I done came down a couple pounds. So I got some
looking
good,
buddy. There. Looking
good.
Thank
you. Yo, we try. But look, so we got some good stuff that we're giving away. Suits that cost hundreds of dollars that we're giving away, that we're donating to community. Why? Because we want you to have what you need to go get a job. We want you to have what you need to be successful in school. I was just sharing a story. My daughter, my oldest daughter, started law school this week, which is wild because I don't feel like I'm old enough for my oldest daughter to be it, but she is, right? It is what it is. And I took her to go get, you know, get settled at school. She's at State, and we went to the bookstore. And when we got to the bookstore, her books rang up for nearly $1,000.
Right.
And, you know, I started complaining for a second, and then it hit me like the Lord, like, I felt like he brought it back to my remembrance. And it was like, when I started law school, PA, I started with no books because I couldn't afford them.
I watched your video, and I know you got touchy on that video.
It messed me up. It really did. Like, it messed me up because my family is in such a different position, but I think days like this help other people's families get in another position. What happens for the single mom when she don't have to worry about clothes for her kids to go back to school, right? When the backpacks are provided. What happens when your child gets that haircut that you was like, how am I going to pay for it? That's what this is about. It's about making that difference and making that connection. We're hoping the community comes out. You don't have to be a member of Rec City. Come from wherever you are. Show up, get some food, have a good time.
Wow. This Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. to 6 o'clock p.m., 32 East 4th Street. That's across from the Muskegon Middle School, right?
Yep. It's right in that area. It's up that the old hospital. I mean, the new hospital is there now.
Yeah. Heckley Community Care.
Yep.
Free braids. So they're going to have time to do free braids, man?
They're going
to
do some braids. Now, you want to get there on time. I don't know how many heads she's going to get to, but she's going to do it. Africans
have three people on your head.
Oh, yeah, at one time.
I said, I'll
be done in 15 minutes.
The girls. So I might pull my skills back out and see if I still got it. I'm joking.
So when did you get your doctoral degree?
So I defended my dissertation last month. So you get your PhD, you get the title of doctor when your dissertation is defended and accepted. And it was. And then officially as of August is when degrees are conferred. Summer graduate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what was your dissertation? Is that the word?
Yeah, my dissertation was Safe to Be Black. And we explore how servant leadership influences psychological safety and influences voice, knowledge sharing, and engagement among Black public servants in Michigan. Wow. Long story short, the whole idea behind it was when servant leader behaviors help people feel safe to be themselves, their authentic selves in a work environment. And then that then helps them show up as a better employee, which helps the company or helps the organization thrive. A lot of times we try to get people to conform as if conformity makes people thrive. But what our research showed was that when people experience servant leadership, they can be themselves. And when they show up as their authentic selves, they're more willing to speak truth to power. They're more willing to share their knowledge, their experiences with their colleagues, and really be engaged in the work.
Wow. Is this going to be published?
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. We're working on it now. Getting it published. Got to make it official. So
we got to work on it. That is a great work.
When it comes out, let us know, Brandon. Text me or Paul and let us know and so that we can go and read your dissertation.
Get some of the guests, too.
Yeah.
I'm sure you talk to a lot of people, right?
Yeah, we talked to we had 12 public servants from across the state of Michigan, different cities across Michigan that served as, our participants. Super grateful for them. If any of them are watching, extremely grateful for their support. Couldn't have done it without them. But it was so interesting to learn from their experience. And that's somebody who's worked in government. It was interesting to, consider how their experiences differed from mine or were similar to mine. I think that was one of the most interesting parts of doing the work. Because as a researcher, you can come in with bias. Right. So I had to kind of set my bias aside, be intentional about that. So listening to them, their perspectives, I was like, man, that's some real stuff. So it was good. It was really good stuff.
A question, Brandon, is the expectations different for Blacks than it is for whites in the business world?
So I think that Black people and white people experience work differently. It, that's from place to place, whether the expectation is different. But by and large, are people treated differently? For sure. It exists, right? We can't deny the fact that Black people and white people have been treated differently historically and even still now in certain work environments. It happens with me as a lawyer. I go to courthouses, and when I go to places that aren't used to seeing a lot of Black lawyers, I've been challenged about why I'm in front of the bar. I've had deputies come up to me and tell me to go back and sit in the audience. I was sitting in the wrong place.
I would have loved to been a fly on the wall to hear Brandon defend that.
Right.
Talking about defending the dissertation. I know Brandon don't. He can
chop him up
intelligently.
Right.
Me, I'm just like F this and M after that. Brandon's like, and on the category 5 and the blah, 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 blah.
Do it all.
Yeah, I'm sitting there like, huh?
So how did you handle that?
You know, I kindly asked them why would they assume that I wasn't supposed to be there. And, you know, and they kind of looked. I said, exactly, I'm an attorney, so I'm sitting where I'm supposed to sit, and you should ask if I'm an attorney if you question. They're like, oh, well, we're just not used to seeing you. I said, I'm sure there's attorneys that come in the courtroom who you're not accustomed to seeing. You know, so what is it about me that would make you make that assumption?
You think it was your dread? It was your dreads?
What's wild to me is I come in a, you know, full suit. I do have my dread. They pull it back, but come on. There are some people who come to court in suits, but most of the time, full suit, tie, all of the stuff sitting behind the bar with a briefcase on top of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just, come on. I'm not going. But you know what's crazy about it? It's not a unique story to me. There are so many of my colleagues who have similar experiences still right now, or even just walking in. This wasn't too long ago, like probably a month and a half ago. I was walking into a courthouse. And you know, we got to have bar cards. Most courthouses don't ask attorneys for bar cards, but some do. So I'm walking in, and again, they assume I'm not a lawyer. You're going through the wrong door. Am I? Or I wouldn't be mad if you'd be like, can I see your bar card? Like, you know, but the assumption is this black person can't be in this space. And that's whack. But it's the truth of how things work, and we know the world we live in.
Wow. What advice would you give to someone who's in the professional world and they were faced with the decision you had to make about your hair? Maybe, you know, public tattoos, because we know some companies don't want tattoos to be shown.
I've seen attorneys with tattoos all on their neck.
Hey, yeah, check me.
But it hasn't always been like that. Yeah, but what would you say to those individuals?
Yeah, first, I do think you have to choose your battles and decide. It's based off of where you are in your career. So at this stage of my career, I've been in it. This is my 16th year as an attorney. I'm at a different space than I was day one. Day one, there's a lot of playing the game that goes along with it. And that's uncomfortable. That's not desirable. But you got to choose. You get to say, I want to play the game or I don't. If you play the game, navigating to where you want to go, it is a path that makes sense for most people. When you do that, there are parts of you that won't enjoy it. There were things I did not like, things that are difficult to navigate. But it allowed you to get to a position of power where you can help somebody else not have to navigate that way.
Exactly.
Right. So, yeah. So because I was the one that people could accept, the way I navigated things like that, it worked. Now it's not going to be so difficult for people to come behind me and get in the space that I'm in. You know, like shout out to DJ Hilson. I'm fairly certain that I was the first black male ever hired as an attorney in the Muskegon County Prosecutor's Office. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that Brianna was the first black female, I believe, to ever be hired as an attorney in the Muskegon County Prosecutor's Office. Shout out to DJ who hired me and put me in that spot. But let's be real, years earlier, that probably wouldn't have happened in Muskegon County.
No.
Somebody had to create the space for that to happen. And then after it happened, it becomes easier for the next generations of people, for my daughter and the people graduating from law school with her, to walk into those spaces. So I think the first thing that advice is decide what your path is. Decide what it is you're trying to do and know that there's consequences attached to each decision. There's some personal consequences when you decide to conform to a certain extent. That can be tough for you. But there are also some professional consequences when you decide not to. Deciding not to means you have to forge your own path. And if you decide to do that, power to the people. I respect it. I support it. But it is a path.
It's a long journey. It's a hard journey.
You know?
I was always told to be like a Charmeleon.
Yeah.
Know how to navigate the system.
Work
like
both
that.
Space. I like to be able to do, like I always say, I can do both, right? Like whatever room you put me in, I'm going to be able to navigate it. But I have changed my, I used to say you got to do both. And I've changed my opinion over the years because I understand the personal toll that takes on people to have, you know, for some people, conforming or navigating in a way, you know, that fits with the system is so draining that they can't exist in that. And I say, don't do it. If it hurts your mental health, you can't do it. Find another path, right? Work for yourself. Do what you got to do. That's okay. But if you can do it, old church song said, payday coming after a while. And I'm going to tell you, it pays off after a while, you know? So,
I think sometimes some people just can't conform, period. They don't like boundaries.
Yeah,
and a lot of society, they struggle with boundaries, period.
Yeah, and I think that's problematic. You got to know that you work for, if you're working for somebody else, there's going to be boundaries, and there's going to be rules, and that's okay. I've worked every place I've worked. There's been rules that I don't like. That doesn't mean I don't have to abide by them. I'm there to work. I'm there to do a job, and if I can advocate to get it changed, get it changed. But if I can't, then I got to work or find somewhere else to work. like that's how it goes.
You know, Brandon, is one thing. You are such an amazing man.
Thank you, in my opinion.
I've watched you since you've been here, you know, since you got here, and we were first introduced, and you stayed true to who you are.
Thank you.
Didn't let your title as attorney, prosecutor, attorney, you didn't let none of that stuff stand in your way of who you were as a human being, not as a man, not as a black man, but as a human being.
Yeah.
And I want to salute you, brother, for that, and two, for having a daughter going to law school. Man, come on, brother. Come on,
Big
brother.
Rob, man.
You did that, brother. When you dropped her off to law school, did you pat yourself on the back?
You know, I didn't, but I did have a moment, though. I can't hold you. No, first, let me say thank you for that. I appreciate the support. I appreciate the kudos. And I do try to be a person that's a good example and living the way that God's pleased with. But I always want everybody to know, don't let the smooth taste fool you, as the old folks will say, right? I'm far from perfect. And I think sometimes church folks just need to be honest about that. I'm not perfect. I mess up. I don't get it all right. I have done some things that I'm not proud of, right? So I'm not in this space saying that everything's been perfect, but I do try to do what's right. And so I'm grateful that you can see that. But no, when I dropped my daughter off, it was a moment. The whole day was a moment for me. And I think it's because she was with me when I went to law school. Right, legit, class with me some days.
Really?
Both of my daughters. Yeah. You know, one of the stories I tell often is there was a day I had to take them to class with me. Now, I always told my professors at the beginning of the semester, hey, I got kids. I'm a single father. Some things may happen one day, and I had to bring them. I want to give you a heads up. You know, I try not to, but it might happen. So they all were always cool about it. They were supportive. This day, I had to bring the girls to class, and I hadn't read for class. It was crim law, and I brought them to class, and I set them down, and I'm just like, I hope they don't call on me today. I'm gonna make it work, you know, which is one of those things, I hope they don't call on me. And class starts, and Professor Hing, he's passed now, he said, well, I guess we know who we're calling on today. He was like, Mr. Davis. And I'm like, why would he do this to me? That's what I'm thinking, right? And he was like, because clearly he didn't read for class. So now I'm like, how does he know I didn't read for class? It's the truth. I didn't read for class. So I'm listening. He was like, because he brought his daughters. And I know he wouldn't have brought his daughters for the day when we talk about criminal sexual conduct. I said, oh, man. So he was like, you probably want to get them some headphones or something. I said, yes. Yes, I do.
Wow.
So they've been there for some very serious days. But what's funny about it is my daughters make jokes often that they shouldn't have had to go to college or law school because they already went with me. They said all the time. You didn't have to go to college twice. Well, we got to go to college twice.
They remember all that.
They remember a lot of it. They remember a lot of it.
But Brandon, you ought to just, you know, pat yourself on the back. And I mean, you can do it literally, or you can just, you know, look at your children, man, and you're a blessed man. You are very, very blessed man to have.
Sir. Christian, yes, sir. As we get into this political world, Brandon, I see a lot of Christians are really demonizing Islam, demonizing Muslim, Adal El Sayed. What are your thoughts on this? Christians trying to make Islam, trying to make other religions secondary.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it is imperative. At the end of the day, I'm a Christian and I believe the Bible, right? That's where I stand. But I also wholeheartedly believe in everyone else's ability and right to believe what they believe. And I think it is misguided for believers or people of any religion to try to demonize someone else's faith. Now, as Christians, the Bible teaches us to go out to all the world and preach the gospel. So I don't think preaching the gospel or telling someone what you believe and why you think they should believe it is demonizing it. In fact, I think that's part of what we're called to do. But there has to be a method to it, right? Like, you don't have to make somebody feel terrible about who they are and what they believe to tell them what you believe and why. The way that people do that, I think is misguided. I think it's not helpful, and it's not something that I choose to do.
Right. Well, we've seen a very toxic environment now.
Yeah.
Led by so-called Christians.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thousands of people into Dearborn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, I saw the clips for that, and it was disheartening. Like, it's upsetting. It's disrespectful. And the stuff that was being said, it wasn't political. It was bigoted. Like, let's just call it what it is. Like, there's a difference between having a political view or even a religious view and being a bigot. And what we heard were bigoted remarks from people essentially saying that there was no place for, Muslims in America. And that's trash. That's wrong. I categorically am against and stand against any statement like that's made without regard for what religion we're talking about. It's a wrong thing to do. People get to believe what they believe. They get to live what they live. And as long as they're following the law, we should have nothing to say about it.
How do we heal that, though? How do we bridge that?
It depends on what we're trying to bridge. Like, this is complicated, right? Like, relationships, I think, need to be bridged. I think we have to distinguish between opposing views and not respecting an individual. And I do think we've gotten to a place where it's difficult to talk about opposing views because we're so polarized as a society, right?
Right.
And polarization brings offense. And, there's this book that I'm a strong proponent of called The Beta Satan. And it talks about how when you are offended by something, it's difficult to hear, respond, or navigate that space well. And I think that happens a lot, right? Where we have gotten to a place of offense. So, like, for me, you asked the question, I had to pause about how, answer it, because I try to avoid those spaces. I think a lot of us do. So I think in order to heal it, we got to come to the table willing, first of all, to set aside our offense and hear each other. You can't heal what you can't hear, right? Like, you got to be able to hear what's happening. Dr. Shaq preached something that has been big to me. He said, you got to feel it in order to deal with it so that you can heal it. Right. So you and that stuck with me all this time. So you got to first feel what you feel, like, have all the feels. I got a problem with what's happening. I have tension and how I feel about this subject. But then you can really dig in and deal with it. And that takes conversation. That takes a willingness, and that takes a willingness to do and a willingness to learn.
OK, we got an online comment from Pierre Tyson. Said, Brandon, I still remember the first time I met you. You show plenty of character, and I was truly proud to just sit and witness how you move. Thank you for being a man. That's really tough.
I'm grateful. Thank you, Peter.
That's for all of us.
Yeah, that's why I said what I said, Brandon. I watched Paul raise two girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come along.
Yes, sir.
I watch you raise.
I didn't braid girls. Hair. I didn't braid hair, though.
No, I get it. But what I'm saying is, for a man to raise young girls into women.
Yes, sir.
They say, Paul always giving me my accolades for having five kids, four boys and one girl, mm-hmm. and raising my children and being there for them their whole life. But brother, you are a man's man. And if any man want to know how to be a man, they need to come talk to you.
Pull up Brandon. Yes,
pull him up. And that's a serious comment.
Right.
Pull Dr. Brandon Davis up.
Yes. Google him.
Google him. Man. I mean, seriously, because for a man to go through college, struggling through college, and God, everybody talk about how hard law school is.
Yeah. Yes,
you
sir.
Have two babies in the classroom with you. That's an amazing story. Paul used to always tell me, Rob, you got a testimony. Brandon, you have a testimony.
Yes, sir.
And I think your testimony is way better than my testimony. Because you did that, brother. Your daughter's in law school, man.
She is. And
your daughter in law school, man. You had a party yet?
Hey, not yet. She wanted to travel instead of party, right? Oh. Like, I tried to go to party route, but she told me she wanted to go travel. So she took some time to go different places, do different things. And I love that for her. I got to shout out my other daughter, too. Tamira is a senior at Ferris. So we're about to have a, you know, another one step out. And I think med school is her plan. But I thank y'all for the support and the kudos, you know, and that's part of what I hope this church does, right? It's to provide a space for men who want to figure out how to navigate this space where we can sit down and have those conversations and navigate together. Because one of the things you said, like, you know, y'all were talking about what I've done, but I didn't do it alone. Like, yes, I was a single father, but I had a support system that I'm so grateful for. My mother was amazing, like amazing, because I never felt deserted, right? Like, we had our place, we had our space, but I knew it was people who had my back if the rubber met the road. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for my pastor in Detroit, who's Bishop Eric Mitchell, who's an amazing example of what manhood looked like. And all of my brothers, not biological, biological too, but not just biological, but they surrounded me and held me up. And then I met people like y'all who, you know, were examples and supportive. A strong man in community. This is not a journey I took alone yet. So every shout out I get is a shout out to y'all too. So thank you.
Shout out, and we got a shout out First Lady too, Ashley.
Talk about the woman of God. You know,
yeah.
Listen, you find as you want to be. Oh, glory to God. You
know? Brandon, we got to get you back, man. We got to get you back. Love having you on. We don't talk a minute for 5 minutes. It's always, we schedule 20 and it's almost 30 right now.
Yes, sir. Well, thank y'all for having me. And I hope people can come out Sunday, August 30th, 3 p.m. Rec City 32 East Forest for Community Day. Come get everything you need. We'll be praying and we'll be providing. PA, Big Rob, I love y'all. Thank y'all for having me.
Love you too, Brandon.
Love you too, good brother. Thank you so much.
All right. Yeah. All right.